to the Florida Roundup here on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening this week. This week, we saw the number of confirmed locally transmitted Zika cases continue rising, up to 25 as of Thursday afternoon. But the Zika zone in Wynwood shrunk by a few blocks. The fight against the virus has sparked health worries, certainly. It's also brought criticism that health officials and mosquito control efforts were caught flat-footed despite months and months of warnings. Della Hyman owns the Wynwood Yard and has had two of her employees test positive for Zika. She closed the business initially but decided to reopen the middle of this week. Her employees were tested a week ago.
I tried to get in touch with the health department early in the day on Tuesday, and the response just wasn't urgent, and I felt that the situation required urgency.
And there are now three of her employees who have tested positive for the virus. In the meantime, neighborhood business owners in Wynwood say they're suffering as people stay away from the area, even though the positive Zika cases have been concentrated to a 500-foot area within the neighborhood. Miami-Dade County has spent $8 million so far on its mosquito control effort. That's a five-fold increase over its usual annual budget. And complaints about too wide of an area, too little information, scaring away tourists and locals. It's all coupled here this week with stories of vague healthcare advice from public health sources. So if you've been tested for the Zika virus, do you want to get tested? Are you looking for answers? Have you called the state Zika hotline? And what about the effort to stop the bugs? We'll begin the Florida Roundup this week with Zika again, 800-743-WLRN. The phone number to participate, 800-743-9576. You can find us on social media at WLRN on Twitter and, of course, on Facebook. Sammy Mack covers healthcare policy for us here at WLRN, and Rosemary O'Hara is back with us from the South Florida Sentinel. Welcome back to both of you. Sammy, first of all, number of confirmed locally transmitted cases as of Friday morning, we're right around two dozen. Is that right?
Right. So we have 25 confirmed cases. Of those, 19 have been in that zone that we've been hearing about that's in Wynwood and Midtown.
What about the other five?
Kind of a few different places. So there's some in Broward. We have, I believe, one in Palm Beach at this point. And they're investigating some others. So it's... The number has slowly been growing over the past week or two after they announced the first couple that they were investigating.
Not quite doubled from a week ago, where we were a week ago today. I think we were 14, 15 sometime a week ago. What about the total number of Zika cases, including those travel-oriented?
So the travel-related infections of Zika that are confirmed stands at 404 in the state. And we know that there are 57 cases of pregnant women who have been infected with the Zika virus. It's been confirmed. There are now a lot more women who are getting tested because of as of this week, testing is available to all pregnant women down here. But as of right now, it's 57, and we're waiting to hear what's going to happen.
I want to ask you about that testing for pregnant women, but Rosemary, I want to put this to you. A week ago, we had seen visits by the governor. We had seen visits by congresspeople. We had seen visits by the Centers for Disease Control in this Wynwood neighborhood. This week, it was more kind of local mosquito control efforts. Has the public policy response, has the response matched the threat of Zika in your estimation?
Well, I think there has been leadership shown both at the state and at the county level. The problem is that it has come so late. We knew this was coming. And you don't deal with a problem in a crisis state and to have the most effect. You need to prepare. And so on a public policy level, it's been a failure at both the federal level and the state level, too. There's been cuts in mosquito control programs, in the mosquito lab, in the panhandle. And really, do most people really know how to prevent it, prevent getting it? Where there's you, if you've been paying attention, you know that there's something called Zika, and you know that there's political debate about it. But do you really know how to keep yourself from getting it? I think with all that kind of information needs to get out more regularly.
And a lot of that information, Rosemary, has been concentrated public communication on drain and cover. It's and then we've had obviously a pretty rainy week, at least here in central Dade County. Drain and cover, is that enough of a public communication effort?
Well, it's a start, And I guess I wonder, you know, for people who are listening, have they really done it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do they feel the urgency to do it? Are we really spraying our clothes with this, you know, pesticide that we're supposed to? Are we using this swab wipe thing that we're supposed to be using?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing it, you know?
Yeah, lots of questions here. If you've got them, 800-743-9576, talking about Zika here again on the Florida Roundup, 800-743-WLRN. Focusing first on some of the health response here, Sammy. The concern has been concentrated, obviously, on pregnant women, on women who plan to be pregnant. You are one of those. You are pregnant,
yes,
as we speak here today. Congratulations.
Thank you.
How far
Thank
along
you
are you?
About 3 months.
About 3 months. You work on the edge of the Zika zone.
We are 5 blocks south of the Zika zone right now.
Share with us your first-person primary experience interfacing as a pregnant Miami-Dade resident with Zika and public health policy.
Well, so I got my Zika test this morning because I am a pregnant woman who has been to that area since June 15th. And we have been told in the past couple of weeks that, you know, any pregnant woman who's been to that area should talk to their doctor about getting tested. Now, any pregnant woman, that test is available. There are two tests that they do. And I've been told in 7 to 10 business days, I'll have my results back.
What's the test like? Is this a blood test, a swab? What's it like?
It's a blood test and a urine test.
Okay.
And they run both of them, and they get sent to state labs. And there are options that you can go to a private lab and get tested. Because right now, the Department of Health is only offering these to pregnant women. So there's not any partner testing that's happening if you're concerned about being a partner of someone who is pregnant or considering getting pregnant and you want to know your status. That has to be done through a private lab at this point.
And did you do this test through a public health office or through a private physician?
No, through my doctor's office, and they are sending it to state facilities.
What was your experience like trying to get some information from the public health department?
It's been a mixed bag. As a reporter, it's been a little frustrating. And as a pregnant woman, it has also been a little frustrating for different reasons. So when they first announced the first two cases that they were investigating almost 2 weeks ago now, before we knew about this Wynwood area, before there were any recommendations about traveling there, they sent out a press release at 6:30 in the evening, which is an hour and a half after their offices close, and called and tried to get more information about what this means, what people in our area should be doing, had to leave a message with the folks on their after-hours numbers. Part of that press release said that there would be Zika prevention kits available for pregnant women in the area. So the next day, after my first ultrasound, I walked myself over to the health department, which is literally 2 blocks away from where I get my ultrasounds, and went in and asked about the kits.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody had any idea what I was talking about. Fast forward a couple weeks, I have called, I've left my name and number, haven't heard back from anybody. I physically went there again today. They said, call the number. I called the number again. They said, well, somebody will get back to you by Monday. But it's been very frustrating. And both, you know, as a reporter and as somebody who's very invested in making sure I don't get bit by mosquitoes.
Sure. Rosemary, what's your reaction when you hear a story like that firsthand?
That's extraordinary.
Right?
I expect that you will be hearing from them today, and shame on them for not having already reached out to you. You know, it's one thing to have the governor and Congress people stand at a microphone. It's another thing to have somebody who's really living with the danger get the information and the tests they need. Where the challenge sounds like is at the local health department level. Where that, you know, it's, yeah, let's keep spreading the fog of pesticide, but let us open the doors to the health department and get help to the people on the ground now.
And the first cases of travel transmitted Zika, let's go back, early February. Early
right.
February.
Right.
The press release comes out that they're investigating a locally transmitted case. And as Sammy said, Rosemary, it's after hours for the public health department. The phone number is included in there. We know there was a public meeting just this week in the Zika zone, and they continue to point people to the phone number, to the telephone number.
Well, it's just not good enough. They need to do better. They need to get the information out. You know, it seems like most of us seem to know what's going on, but the fact that there is this explosion in travel-related Zika cases means that a lot of people don't know what's going on. What is the message, and why, you know, should we be doing more for those who are traveling?
So that's the public health side of things. Let's talk about the mosquito control side of things. We've got two mosquito control experts along with us. Chris Reisinger is with the Palm Beach County Mosquito Control District. He's with us on the telephone. Chris, welcome to the Florida Roundup. Thanks for joining us here.
Thanks for having me.
And on Skype here today, Anton is the Director of Mosquito Control for Broward County. And thanks again for coming back here. First of all, Ann, let me ask you, Broward County, the usage of the chemicals and the bacteria in Miami-Dade County, two types of spraying being used, BTI, a bacteria targeting the mosquito larva, and NILID, the chemical going after the adult mosquitoes. There have been five flights over Wynwood spraying pesticides. Has Broward County changed its spraying schedule because of the Zika threat at all?
No, we have not, mainly because we do not have active local transmission. And in fact, we do not have any cases that are being investigated by the health department due to non-travel related. So our work is primarily right now is to prepare and then handle the normal mosquito control season that happens every summer. But we spend a tremendous amount of effort to educate our partners at the municipal levels and preparing ourselves and moving resources in just in case we get an active local transmission.
So let me ask Chris that same question. Have you changed any spraying schedule or any types of treatments in Palm Beach County?
No, not really. We've just been vigilant and proactive. All of the suspect cases and confirmed cases, we still send our inspectors out to, and they will do a thorough property inspection. If they find any adults, they will hand fog the property. Any juveniles, they will either treat with larvicide or tip and toss, drain and cover. And we're just preparing for local transmission in the event that it does happen. But so far, nothing locally has been transmitted.
How much of an uptick have you heard in folks who want people to come out and check out their properties?
We've seen a huge uptick in that. Most of the public, they want us to come and spray their entire community because there's Zika in South Florida, and that's just not something we can do. We're bound by the DAX regulations. Actually have to have bugs or disease present before we can utilize pesticides. So it's a lot of community education.
Chris and Anton, do you both use in your arsenal of tools this NALID pesticide that Miami-Dade County has been using?
For Broward County, yes. NALID is a chemical that we've used historically in the past, and it's a very common chemical in the whole industry. Many mosquito control districts use it throughout the country.
Chris, how about for you? Is that in your arsenal?
Yes, we use NALID. It's Dibrom, I believe. We use that for aerial spraying, and then we also use a synthetic pyrethroid for truck spraying. So yes, we are familiar with using it.
This is among the two treatments that Miami-Dade County has utilized via private contractors in fixed-wing aircraft to fly over the Wynwood area five times now. And in fact, three of those flights have included wider areas of downtown Miami and portions of Overtown. They've used the bacteria treatment targeting the mosquito larva called BTI, and then this NALID, a chemical that goes after the adult mosquitoes. It's also popular in Lee County in the Mosquito Control District in Fort Myers, which has the largest budget of any mosquito control district in the state of Florida. We spoke with Shelley Radovan, who's been with the Mosquito Control District there, and saying they've used this chemical, this NILA chemical, for 22 years.
It's the dose and duration of the time that droplet is in the air that is what's going to make it toxic to something.
So, Anton, from the Mosquito Control District in Broward County, we've heard from some residents and from some visitors in Wynwood complaining about the use of this chemical, saying it's banned in the European Union, which it is. What kind of safety precautions can you give residents of Broward County if and when you happen to put in place this NILID spraying?
Sure. Before we do any aerial sprayings, we always notify through press release and that municipality's PIO so they can notify their residents. And when we do the aerial spraying, we do it very early in the morning, typically from 4 to 6 in the morning. That way people are not walking around because the only time they're in the air is a very short period of time, and that's the period of time that we're concerned about. But once they hit the ground and dissipate, then there's really no danger at that point. And to that point, you know, the concentration that we spray is very low. We're talking about half an ounce of that chemical, which would dilute it with water that we spray over an acre. So we're not talking about a tremendous amount of chemical at a time.
Chris, let me ask you, because some folks who are residents in Wynwood and visitors as well have asked, what about the lingering effect of this chemical on, say, for instance, playgrounds that kids would wind up be using, or sidewalks or awnings?
Well, as Anton was going into it, it's a very low spray rate, half ounce per acre. So, and it evaporates very quickly. So there's really not much in the way of lingering effects for it. We're certainly not worried about it. The outcome of having, mosquitoes in your ambient environment is probably a lot worse than having a little bit of a nail it out there for a very short amount of time.
I'm here with Rosemary O'Hara with the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Rosemary, you were talking earlier about, you know, communication obviously being key on the public health side of this, also on the response side of this. As Broward County perhaps awaits for a locally transmitted Zika case, hopefully it doesn't come. What would you anticipate to hear from these mosquito control authorities in terms of their preparation and their response?
Well, I guess my question is there more that we should be doing? It sounds like there's a certain wait and see and business as usual, and, you know, we're on guard for when it gets here. But Mike, as a resident of Broward, I would want to know, if you had more money, if you had more resources, would it make sense to step up the prevention efforts now? If I could ask that to our Broward guy.
Sure, I'll be glad to answer that. Fortunately, at Broward County, our Broward County Commission has always guided us to be fiscally responsible. So we, at a time like this, we do have the reserve capacity to handle a public health emergency such as this one. We're not sitting around waiting for a state or federal government to fund us. Currently, we have already bought additional equipment. We stockpile different chemical and added new chemical and other products to our arsenal. We train additional staff. They are licensed already. They're out there right now. I've moved additional 20 people to do mosquito control related activities. So we're not sitting around wait and see. We're preparing for the worst and hoping for the best.
Anton, the director of the mosquito control for Broward County, you talk about 20 people. Are these reassigning of 20 people that are on staff or going out for private contractors?
These are folks that are being reassigned from other tasks to mosquito control related work. But to that point, we do have backup contractors that we have put emergency procurement in place should we need them. Right now we don't, but we can activate them at a moment's notice. In addition to that, we have reached out to other mosquito control districts that are much bigger, such as the Keys Mosquito Control District. Mm-hmm. If our staff needs help and a contractor fail, we can reach out to them for to help as well.
Talking about the response from local mosquito control north of the Zika zone in Broward County and Palm Beach County here on the Florida Roundup, 800-743-9576 is the phone number. In Coconut Grove on line one is Joyce. Joyce, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. I was wondering, I grew up here, so I remember when they used to spray all the time, and trucks and planes, and they stopped all that because it hurt the environment. Does this hurt the environment in any way, or, you know, animals, pets, bees, whatever?
Good question, Joyce. Let's put it to Anton with Broward County and Chris Reisinger from Palm Beach County. Chris, what about the impact on local wildlife and other helpful insects such as bees?
Along with the bees, the reason we spray the dibromer nalid at nighttime is because it gives the bees and the other beneficial insects in the environment time to go back to their little homes and stay out of the way of the spray. As you know, more and more EPA regulations over the years, as well as through the state level at the Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services, we need to be, you know, environmentally responsible. So before 30 years ago, I mean, before I was born, they were spraying with mixing everything with diesel and fumigating like crazy. But now it's much more targeted approach, and it's much more tactical. We time our time our aerial sprays and truck sprays to get the most bang for our buck and to have the least environmental impact.
Anton, what about impact on pets who may be outside at that time?
We only spray aerial maybe 2 or 3 times a year, and we warn our residents to keep away, to keep their pets inside, because there's really no way for us to not spray over a whole area wide and stop at one house versus another. Regarding the truck spray, though, we use a chemical called Biomist, mm-hmm. and we at that point that we can turn on the spray on and off as we reach houses that do not want us to spray near the house or if there are pests that are walking nearby.
So that's street level spraying, is that right?
That is correct. That's street level spraying.
And can a neighbor, if a neighborhood knows that the street level spraying is happening, can a neighbor of a particular or a resident of a particular address say, "Don't spray in front of my house"? Call and make that happen.
Sure. Yeah, we have a running list of residents that do not want us to truck spray near the house. So you can always call our mosquito control section, and we'll be glad to put you on that list.
Chris, is there anything similar in Palm Beach County for street level spraying?
Yes, we have a chemically sensitive list of people, so they can call in and they can send us a doctor's note documenting their chemical sensitivity, and we can mark them off on the street spraying list, as well as give them an individualized call when we're going to be aerial spraying over their neighborhood.
And then how far away does the street level spraying stop? Is it just right at the property line, or is it that entire block that doesn't get sprayed?
I'm not entirely sure. I think it's a couple hundred feet. I'm not in charge of the field crews.
Gotcha. It's a fair and honest answer, Chris, and that's what we appreciate here. Finally, Rosemary, when you speak about, you know, some of the responses here, and we heard some of the shifting of resources, it does get down, obviously, to dollars, to finance. And we've seen, you know, on the state level, the governor, when he took over in 2011, cut some of the state spending on mosquito. We've seen, you know, mosquito control districts in Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach with budgets of less than $2 million for this metropolitan area that totals $6 million plus now.
Right. And I think it's inherent in the people who are leading the effort to stomp their feet and pound the table and tell us what we need. I appreciate that press releases are going out, you know, but boy, the call has got to go bigger than a press release, not only to the people in the media who are helping to, you know, keep an eye on it and tell the story, but social media and other ways.
So to that point, Anton, you've got, I want to say the last budget had $1.3 million for mosquito control in Broward County in the last fiscal year. What do you expect to spend this year now?
We're way over that at this point. Of the $1.3 million, which includes about $45,000 of state contribution, we're anticipating to double that at this point. And it could get higher than that, depending on the conditions on the ground.
And Chris, what about in Palm Beach County? What's your budget look like versus what does the actual spending look like for this year?
Well, again, I'm not over the budget, but I know that our general operating budget is a little over $2 million. And we are able to use a lot of the leftover, I believe it's Ebola money that is coming in now. We got $80,000 last month and $85,000 this month for chemical and labor costs. So we're going to be using that, and hopefully some of this federal money will be liberated and sent our way as well.
Let's take one more call here in Miami as we are discussing the chemical and pesticide response to controlling mosquitoes in South Florida. Brittany joins us from Miami. Brittany, welcome to the Florida Roundup. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. I was just calling in regard to the lady that just called about impacts to the environment and to pollinators and to bees. And I wanted to mention that the nailed sprays usually do occur in the morning, and that would be peak time of a lot of pollinators out and about. And there are plenty of studies, particularly in the Florida Keys, that show that these insecticides are detrimental to pollinators, so butterflies, to bees. And, you know, and there's also concerns on health as well to people. But, yeah, this does pose a threat to pollinators, particularly in other invertebrates.
Brittany, thanks for the input. One of the reasons, Anton and Chris Reisinger, that you spray in the morning is because that's when insects are active, and perhaps, obviously, some other insects outside of just the mosquitoes are. Are there alternatives to the pesticide treatments that the mosquito districts use that that are being investigated at all?
If I mean, could start.
Go ahead, Chris, you first.
I was going to say either you larvicide or you delticide. We're a pretty larvicide heavy operation here. So that gets the mosquitoes while they're still in the water before they get on the wing. That way you're not affecting other airborne insects. But as far as nighttime spraying goes, we usually try to get the aircraft up about half hour, an hour after sunset, and do the run as quickly as we can. We've got 270,000 acres we try to spray when we do have a full-scale spray operation. Mm-hmm. That only gets the western county by air. And we're usually done by, 4 or 5 in the morning when most of those beneficial insects, as far as I know, are back and safe and sound.
Anton, let me ask you, any alternatives that the county could or should be considering?
Yeah, what we're doing now is we're like Palm Beach County, we're a heavy larvicide operation. What that means is that we try to get the mosquito before they become full-flown mosquito through larvicide.
And that's not chemical. By the way, that's not the NALID chemical. That's a bacteria that you use. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah. One of the the product we're looking at to use, and we are using, and we're looking to use a lot more, is called a Vectobac WDG, which is an organic material. It's been rated by the Organic Material Review Institute. You can spray this over an organic farm, and a farm will still be organic.
Guys, we appreciate the lesson here in insects and chemistry and mosquito control on the Florida Roundup. Anton, along with us, who heads up the Mosquito Control District for Broward County. Chris Reisinger with the Palm Beach County Mosquito Control District here on the Florida Roundup. Sammy Mack as well, thank you. And I know we'll be following along the pending news over the next many, many months.
I will keep you posted.
Absolutely. Rosemary, you stick around. You still got more to talk about
will
here.
Do.
We got a lot to talk about, including both presidential candidates in South Florida this week. Did you hear anything to sway your vote? Call us 800-743-WLRN as the Florida Roundup continues.